So yeah, a few years ago, I kind of started on a bit of a journey. Okay, I was part of the leadership of a church. We just planted a church, and we were exploring a few different things. And I was in our house group, and I was due to take the Sunday morning, and I had no idea what to talk about. I was really struggling, and so I said to the guys. Yeah, so I said to the guys, you know, what should I talk about? And one of them said, you should talk about what really matters. I thought, oh, great, that narrows it down, doesn't it? What really matters? I mean, what really matters? It really matters that my car passes the MOT. Really matters that, you know, I've got a job, or you know, we can earn some money so that we can live. Thank you very much. There are so many things that really matter, aren't there? You know, the sort of kind of food, clothing, shelter, all of those kind of stuff. It really matters that we meet together on a Sunday morning, and that we have, you know, a good word, and everything is done, and we have, you know what I mean? All of those things. And if we don't, it's terrible. All of those things do matter, but what really matters? What really matters? And I kind of thought about all of this, and I thought, actually, what it boils down to is relationships. It's relationships. All these things, they lead back to relationships. You know, meeting together on a Sunday, for instance, yeah, it's important. But what's more important is the fact that somehow we nurture and grow our relationships together as a community and as together with God. And so I started looking at this. And I think, I mean, I don't know, but I think the last couple of years with all the stuff that we've been through has really highlighted our kind of need for relationships. And sometimes it's, you know, it's been a bit paradoxical, hasn't it? It's been like, on the one hand, we've not been able to get together. And in many ways, we've been in some ways, we've been drawn closer together. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, so start, okay. God is the triune God of creation. He is the Trinity. He is the three-in-one God, okay? In the beginning, this is Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. God, the Father of creation, created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, so God the Father, God the Spirit of God, moved over the water. And God said, and then you've got the Word, and so you've got the Father, the Spirit, and you've got the Word of God. And in John's Gospel starts with, in the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he goes on to explain that the Word is Jesus, the Son of God. So straight away, you've got this kind of image of God being the three in one, the triune God. God, in his very core of his being, is a relational thing, person. Relational being, if you like. He is a community. He is a communal being. We love the word community, don't we? You know, the whole thing is that we are made in the image of God, and therefore we have this kind of need, and we are communal social beings because we're created in the image of God. Okay, now the word community, I really love this. Okay, the word community, I love exploring words. Comes from the Greek word communitas. Okay? Anybody know what communitas means? Any Greek scholars here? No? Oh, God, you're lacking. It actually means, this is a dictionary definition. Let me get this right, because I'll get it wrong if I don't read it. Ba-de-bing. Where you gone? The characteristic of people experiencing liminality together. So there you know. Now you know. The characteristic of people experiencing liminality together. Is that okay? We're all okay there, yeah? So liminality, anybody, come on, anybody give me an idea. Anybody heard that word before? A liminal space. That's right. You're in the middle, that's right. You're in between. So a liminal space is a kind of in-between space. Anybody read the Narnia books? My favorite liminal space is that wood where they go to in The Magician's Nephew. They put the ring on and they suddenly they're in this kind of wood with all these pools around it, and they're in a world between worlds. And if they jump in different pools, they end up in a different world. Okay? So that's an airport is a liminal space because you're not at home, you're kind of, you know, anybody seen The Terminal? There's a great film, Tom Hanks film, The Terminal, where he's stuck because he can't get out of the airport and he's living in this kind of liminal space. So liminality is, but liminality, right? Here's another definition. Liminality is the point of being on a threshold. It's the point of being, like we said, in the middle of something. There was the before and there is the next, and you are on the threshold of something and you are without rank, which is a brilliant kind of little thing to put in, because it means that if you are without rank, you're not important. You're not important. You are just, everybody is there together. And so the idea of community, coming from the word communitas, that says, right, we are together on this threshold. Nobody is more important than anybody else. We're all there, all waiting to see what is next. Now, here's the thing, that God, because God is relational, God created man. He created Adam, and then he created Eve. And he created man to be in a relationship with him. God wanted to walk in the garden with Adam. God wanted fellowship. God wanted a relationship with us. God wanted community with us, okay? And even after the fall, even after we've messed up, and even now when we see the mess that's in this world, God's main desire is simply to have a relationship with us. What really matters is that God has a relationship with us. And as we know through the cross, you know, he would go to incredible, ultimate extremes so that he could have that relationship with us. Now, the exciting thing, I think, about this, the thing that really gets me going about this, is that we're on this threshold together without rank, without anything, okay, with God. God is there with us. God is there on this threshold with us. And it's not like, you know, we often think, rightly in some ways, obviously, that God is God and God is above all and in all and before, and he goes before us. We've sung it this morning. You go before me. Your light will guide me. On the other hand, God is also with us, without rank, saying, wow, this is going to be good, isn't it? Standing on the threshold of something with us, next to us, beside us. And that's amazing, isn't it? Just think about it. Not that God is ahead of you and you've got to try and jog to keep up, but God is just there with you in the unknown, in this kind of moment where there is something ahead of you and you don't really know what it is. How many of you, I said last night, 2 years ago, I had lots of plans. I had a diary full of stuff. And then suddenly that had disappeared. And I've given up planning now. I've just given up because plans just seem to fall apart. But I've got dreams. You know, and you look ahead and you have a dream or you have an idea or you have a vision, but you want it to be something and you're not quite sure. And yet you're not alone in that because God is there. It's a scary place, the liminal place. Community, if we are doing community right, if we are there together in the right way, it can be scary because there is vulnerability, because there is an unknown. There is a sense of unknown about where this is going. But there's also a promise that God is with us in that community. And I think that's wonderful. I really do. It's funny. It was really nice singing the last song. You called me out upon the water. I love that song. It's got a real vulnerability about it, hasn't it? But I've thought a lot. I've thought quite a lot about where that comes from recently. Simon Peter is one of my favourite characters. Love Simon Peter. Completely getting it wrong all the time. Anybody identify with that? Yeah. Completely mucking up. You know, I shall never deny you. Well, we're doing this thing in Coventry. Over Easter, we're doing something called the Golgotha Experience. And I can't think who did it. It was a band in America. They wrote it. It's a little bit like a rock opera, I think. But it's quite powerful. And it starts with Jesus being arrested in the garden and then follows the story through to Jesus being buried in the tomb. And there is a song in there, and it's Simon Peter singing, "I wish you were wrong about me." And I really wanted to sing that song. I didn't get chosen for that song, which is because I thought, yeah, you know, I get that totally. Simon Peter, I love Simon Peter. So the song that we sang, it comes from the story about Jesus is walking on the water towards the boat. And it's a wonderful story, isn't it? We really, really easily jump on Simon Peter for saying, "What's the matter with you? You know, Jesus was walking. He told you to come to. Why didn't you just go? Why did you take your eyes off? Why did you sink, Simon?" You know, and it amazes. I'm going to read it. Okay, if I can find it. Hang on a minute. I'm so prepared here. It's Matthew 14. Immediately, this is verse 22, Matthew 14, 22, okay? Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before the dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw them walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And then, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, there's so much in this, okay? First of all, Simon Peter. You know, if it was me and we were in a storm in a little boat getting tossed around all over the place and you saw a ghost, what you thought was a ghost, walking to you on the water, I wouldn't be going, "Hey, if it's you, can you just call me out? I would be clinging hold of the mast and sort of, you know, freaked out. So kudos to Pete, because he kind of had the guts to say, Lord, look, if it's you. And then he had the faith to at least get out of the boat. And that's incredible. That's an amazing faith. And he sunk. You know, we all get it wrong, don't we? We all kind of get it wrong, but whatever. And the other thing, just as an aside, and I think it was, we were up at Scargill and we were listening to a guy called David Runcorn. I think he was talking about this. And he said, it's interesting at the end, Jesus gets back into the boat and the wind dies down. When you're in the middle of a lake, in the middle of the night, and there's no wind, you're kind of stranded. It's funny, isn't it? It's just an aside, you know. Sometimes when we want a storm to stop, it might not always be the best thing. Anyway, just an aside, just something to think about. So, okay, this is Peter. He's desperate to get to Jesus, and he wants to do what Jesus is doing. If it's you, let me walk on the water. And we concentrate on the fact that Peter sunk. He wasn't able. He did for a bit, then he took his eyes off Jesus, sinks down, and Jesus says, you know, I mean, I kind of do think Jesus probably didn't rebuke him. I like to think that Jesus was, there was a chuckle in Jesus' voice where he says, come on, you know, you can do better than that. Now, Simon Peter got out of a boat again, didn't he? So this is John 21. Jesus has been crucified and buried. And Simon Peter has really messed up. He's, you know, he's denied Jesus after saying he would never deny him. He's really messed up. And then Jesus rises again and appears to the disciples. And then over the next 40 days, Jesus is there and he's not there. And he's, you know, and the disciples are wondering. And in the end, Simon Peter says, I'll sack this. I'm going fishing. And so he goes fishing. And while he's out fishing, he looks back onto the shore. And this is John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into a boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets onto the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large numbers of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped in the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore. Now, this is a little bit different. This isn't, well, if it's you, you know, I'm going to have some faith. This is having been through what Peter had been through. Having made that step of realizing that he's not always going to get it right. Having realized it, that the main thing was to be with Jesus. There was no, well, if it's you, let me come out to you walking on the water. There was none of that. It was simply, I'm going to be with the Lord. Dropping everything, jumping into the water and going to be with the Lord. And in some ways, this story about Peter walking on the water, I think we can miss the point. We so often want miracles. We so often want the proof, if you like, that God is with us. And I tell you what, I'm the biggest one that fails at this. Over these last couple of years, time and time again, God shows up and proves that he's looking after us, proves that he's walking with us. And time again, I wake up in the morning thinking, my goodness, what are we going to do? Everything is falling apart. Forgetting that actually God has been with us so far, and God promises to continue to be with us. It's a little bit like Simon Peter has finally learned that the only thing that really matters, it doesn't matter if he can walk on water, it doesn't matter if he can heal the sick or cast out demons. What simply matters is that he's with God and has that relationship with God. Because when that's in place, when he's got that, who knows? Standing on this threshold, this liminal space, this poised to do something amazing, knowing that Jesus is right by his side saying, let's do this. Let's do this. And I think that's where God wants us to be. There are so many, you know, we have so many questions, want to know so many things. We have so many things to pray. Why isn't God doing this? Why aren't our prayers being answered? You know, Jesus had unanswered prayers. If it's possible, take this cup away from me. And it wasn't taken away. But there is God, and God is with us. So God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your friendship to us. God, like Peter, like David in the Old Testament, like so many of the disciples and the heroes of old and the saints and all of those kind of people, that big long list that we read about in Hebrews 12 of saints that conquered armies and fought off all kinds of evil things. And yet all of them, God, they all were imperfect and failed just like all of us fail. And yet, God, you walked with them, you stayed with them, and you used them, God. So, God, will you be like that with us? Will you teach us to, whether it's walking on the water or splashing through the water, will you teach us to reach out just to reach you? God, to know that we are standing with you, to know that we are by your side and that you are by our side, God. Father, help us to see you. Help us to see you in the dust of the road. Help us to see you in the stuff that really doesn't look like it's got you in there at all. And yeah. Amen. I'm going to sing a song.